You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 12th of December 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, it's Thursday, that means we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just happy to hear that we're so important that there are spiritual entities out there that are trying to destroy our communications and harm our files. So at least I feel more significant now.
Well, there are plenty of evil things out there that definitely, I think, make us a target because they know that we're doing the right thing. We're upholding the truth here. And just in case, because listeners won't be aware of what's been going on, we've been having some technical difficulties, and usually it's audio technical difficulties, but it's actually just with transferring files this time. We're very lucky to actually get the notes together on time here today. But we usually get by, Matt. We usually get by the scruff of our teeth, don't we? You know, it's not very often we end up having to miss out on a podcast. Never, I don't think. That I can recall, we definitely are targets. We definitely are targets for the enemy. And I just wish that Donald Trump would actually go after some enemies, because he seems to be making enemies out of his own people. What we're going to be talking about today is Donald Trump's executive order on anti-Semitism. And basically, I think before we get into this, I mean, it seems to me, Matt, that this is similar to what happened in Britain a year or two back when they changed the definition of anti-Semitism to include criticizing Israel. And this was to do with the International Holocaust Agency, something like that. And they were basically going around to all the different countries in the world saying everybody has to get on board with this new definition of anti-Semitism. Any criticism of Israel means that you are an anti-Semite. And I think that's what this is based upon. Am I right there, Matt?
Well, yeah, that's what's being reported. And if you go to the State Department's website, it explicitly says back in 2010 that they've adopted the Holocaust Remembrance Foundation's definition. So these people are writing law. They're writing law directly. And of course, you know, it can't pass the legislature. So Trump is simply forcing it through through executive power. So this is a bizarre thing, not the least of which, of course, is that it treats Jews very much like a race.
Well, at least he's remembered that he can actually make executive orders. This is the thing. You say they accepted it back in 2010, and now it's starting to affect the laws that are being made. And I guess this is law, even though it's an executive order. And that's basically what it does. It prevents criticism of Israel. The first quote that we've got here is from CNN. President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Wednesday, expanding his administration's interpretation of race and national origin to include Judaism, a move that extends certain civil rights protections to Jews in education settings. The order concerns a section of the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964 requiring federally funded educational institutions not to discriminate based on national origin. Under this order, colleges and universities that support or tolerate anti-Israel movements, the most prominent being boycott, divestment, and sanctions, the BDS movement, could be under threat of having their funding withheld by the Department of Education. While protections from racial, color, and national origin discrimination are covered under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, religious discrimination is not. In the past, the Education Department has nevertheless interpreted the law to protect students of any religion from discrimination based on shared ethnic, racial, or national origin. It really is that old chestnut once again, isn't it, Matt? Are the Jews a race or are they a religion? And does it not benefit them to never actually define either one of the two? Doesn't that benefit them better than other people? Because on the one hand, they can argue they're a religion. And on the other hand, they can argue that they're a race. And now they seem to be arguing that they're actually a country as well. And I mean, these laws against racial prejudice, I mean, it's against blacks or it's against Muslims or whatever. But now what they're saying is that it's against, you know, just people in this one specific country. You are not allowed to criticize them. I mean, we can criticize Malawi, we can criticize Tanzania, we can criticize Gambia, but we can't criticize Israel. So it is different to these other discrimination laws, I think. What are your comments, Matt?
No, it is. The problem, the other religions that they mention here, things like Hindus and Sikhs, because they tend to be of one ethnic group, they get thrown in together. You could be a Hindu without being from India. It might be a little weird, but it's possible. The state of Israel, of course, being essentially a secular entity, is an ethnic thing. You have to prove Jewish descent. You don't have to prove some acceptance of the old law or the Talmud or something like that. You have to prove dissent. So as far as the law of return is concerned, it is a racial or at least an ethnic connection. We know this because we know most Jews are atheists. Most Jews are materialists. They don't believe in God at all. This is, you know, certainly not a religion, but it does benefit them to hide, to go back and forth from one to another, especially where tax exemptions are concerned. And the synagogues, you know, synagogues are places of racial mobilization. They're not places of worship. I mean, technically only the temple in Jerusalem can you do that. And so synagogues, that's meant to be a political, a secular movement. But by claiming to be a religion, they get a tax exemption and they get certain protections. So because they treat Hindus as both a race and a religion, and therefore they're under this title, they throw the Jews in there too. There's some Jews who are against it. They're worried about that kind of identification. That's the only way that he can get this pushed through quickly, is by claiming that they're a race and putting them in the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Now, well, you bring up Hindus there. Now, I'm sure people protest against President Modi. In fact, I know people protest against President Modi, and you get Muslims that have been protesting about his actions recently in Kashmir. And that's all sort of centered around what's happening at the universities. And there's no calls to get that banned. And yet there are all these calls to ban this this BDS group, the sanction group on Israel. But there's no calls to ban anything to do with criticism of India. It's just Israel that has this special place and all these special protections. And it is to do with these Israeli boycotts, as we see in this next quote here from the New York Times. The order will effectively interpret Judaism as a race or nationality, not just a religion, to prompt a federal law penalizing colleges and universities deemed to be shirking their responsibility to foster an open climate for minority students. In recent years, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel has roiled some campuses, leaving some Jewish students feeling unwelcome or attacked. But why, though? I mean, this is against Israel. It's not against Jews. It's against Israel. It's against the country. So how can they feel unwelcome or attacked? Matt, do you want to make a comment on this, Friday?
Yeah, this is the outrage here. Can you imagine if every time Christianity was attacked on a university campus, if we felt personally attacked? Or white people were. And in some cases, we are personally attacked. One of the parts of the definition in the State Department has adopted from the Holocaust Foundation says that double standards concerning Israel, in other words, that Israel's at a higher standard than other nations, is part of the definition of anti-Semitism. You know, you can't use a stricter standard for Jews, as if that's even an issue. But here they're creating a double standard, making it very explicit. And from a psychological point of view, it's pure neuroticism that even any kind of criticism, academic or otherwise, makes them feel unwelcome or attacked. This is a neurotic overreaction designed to create some emotional reaction in other people, not any serious public policy.
Well, it's like saying if somebody was to criticize Austria, say there was to be a movement against Austria, people didn't like what Austria was doing, and then all Christians on universities to say, well, I'm offended and I feel unwelcome because I'm a Christian and Austria is Christian as well. I mean, that seems to be what they're saying here, is because people are criticizing Israel, all Jews feel unwelcome and attacked because of that. But Jews aren't all from Israel. You know, they claim to be from Britain, from America, from France, from all these European countries. They try to claim that's actually their nationality. So which one is it? Is there loyalty to Israel, or is there not loyalty to the nations in which they reside? In signing the order, Mr. Trump will use his executive power to take action where Congress has not, essentially replicating bipartisan legislation that has stalled on Capitol Hill for several years. Prominent Democrats have joined Republicans in promoting such a policy change to combat anti-Semitism as well as the Boycott Israel movement. But critics complained that such a policy could be used to stifle free speech and legitimate opposition to Israel's policies towards Palestinians in the name of fighting anti-Semitism. The definition of anti-Semitism to be used in the order matches the one used by the State Department and by other nations, but it has been criticized as too open-ended and sweeping. For instance, it describes as anti-Semitic denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination. Under some circumstances, and offers as an example of such behavior, claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. I'll just stop there again, Matt, because this is the other thing that's different with this. They actually put these examples in there of what this sort of behavior is. I mean, you know, like other examples of racism, they just say racism, discrimination against blacks. But the Jews have a long list of things that they keep adding to as examples, which basically prevents people from making criticism. I mean, one of their examples is you're not allowed to liken the behavior of the Israelis towards the Palestinians to it being like Nazis. And here they say that if you say that Israel is racist to the Palestinians, which it quite clearly is, that's a racist, anti-Semitic. You know, and this right to self-determination, denying the Jews the right to self-determination. They've denied all white people the right to self-determination. We've got total double standards here. What do you make of all these examples that they put in with this, Matt?
Well, you note that the so-called racist endeavor thing, that comes straight from the United Nations. That's a UN resolution of long standing. From the General Assembly, of course. The notion of self-determination. I'm not sure, you know, I mean, I've never heard of anyone who says that they inherently have no right to self-determination. I've only heard that they have destroyed an entire civilization in that area, created refugee camps that are now, 70 years old, and have, you know, killed God knows how many people by forcing themselves on this area as, you know, Polish and Russian Khazars, rather than, you know, what they claim to be, you know, people from the Middle East in the Old Testament. That's the claim. Not that they have some – there's no abstract right to self-determination. These are just – again, these are neurotic overreactions to get people to think that there's some movement against these elites and very, very powerful. But the very fact that they can do this, the very fact that they could promote and have a president embattled as he is, single them out for specific – federal action through an executive order proves just how powerful they are. So who knows? Maybe this will boomerang on them. Maybe this will wake people up saying that this is the level of power that they have. I don't know. And if other things happen, this might not. But this is pretty blatant, and the timing is also very suspicious.
Well, it might well wake people up. I think all these attacks on Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party, accusing them of being anti-Semites in Britain, I think that is really waking people up. And they're thinking, you know, who the hell are these people that they've got this much power? You know, this tiny little 2% of the population And they're demanding that Jeremy Corbyn do exactly what they tell him to do. And if he won't do it, if the Labour Party won't do it, they're all going to leave, and it's all over the newspapers. And I'm sure people must be thinking, how come it's on the front page of the newspaper? If this is an oppressed group that needs special privileges and special rights not to be criticised, how come they seem to own all the newspapers and all the news stations? I'm sure people must be asking that. So what you're saying here is that they're actually accusing the UN of being anti-Semites then, by putting in this quote here, Israel, this example claiming the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor. So that is basically saying that the UN is anti-Semitic. Is that what they're saying there, Matt?
Yeah, the General Assembly passed that a long time ago. Zionism is racism, and it's been a big bone of contention. And they've used it to beat the General Assembly over the head with, because that's the Third World who dominates the General Assembly. Of course, not the Security Council. And that's been something that's, you know, that's why they use it as an example here, because it's not the UN, it's not an elite body. And it's from countries that aren't quite as brainwashed as Western ones are.
Right, because we've discussed it before, haven't we, you know, about the sort of schizophrenic nature of the UN. How, on the one hand, it seems to do everything that the Jews tell it to do and goes to war against countries that the Jews want wars against. And then on the other hand, you know, it decries them as being a racist endeavor. Well, Yusuf Munayyah, the executive director of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, said Mr. Trump's order is part of a sustained campaign to silence Palestinian rights activism by equating opposition to Israeli treatment of Palestinians with anti-Semitism. Israeli apartheid is a very hard product to sell in America, especially in progressive spaces, Mr. Munayyah said. And realizing this, many Israeli apartheid apologists, Trump included, are looking to silence a debate that they know they cannot win. I think that's, you know, that's very true there. But think about this, you know, they're trying to silence the Palestinian rights. You know, where are their rights? Why haven't they got protections that nobody can criticize them, and that you know, to call them all the names that Israel does and to attack them, isn't that you know, anti-Palestinianism? How come there's just this one group that have this special phrase, anti-Semitism, and you can't criticize them, and you can't protest them, you can't boycott them, and yet it's perfectly fine to boycott all these other groups and protest against all the rest of them? I mean, this Yusuf Munayyah, I think he's making a very valid point here. Don't you think, Matt?
Well, you notice who he's talking to. It's the left that's making a lot of these comments. They're not worried about us yet. They're worried about elite leftists in universities and elsewhere that are Trump, you know, claiming that Islam is this wonderful thing in the West and everything. And that these leftists are now equating Israel with European colonialism in the Middle East. Because when Jews are talking to white people, they claim to be white. When they're talking to a non-white people, they claim to be non-white. That's a long-standing trick of theirs. Most of our people know this, and I know you know this. That's why he says, you know, in progressive spaces, because it isn't a party. It is a racial system. It is a nation in the sense that we are talking about a nation. At least are consistent in that regard. And so this is why the left attacks it, if they want to be consistent. So they're you know, he's hitting them right where it hurts. Their weakest link is this idea that they can't have two standards. So they're worried about what the left is going to do here, not us.
Well, this idea that that they're actually white, that the left has, you know, that's only come about because of what the Jews have done anyway. That's what they wanted. That's why the Jews love multiculturalism so much, is because once you have lots of dark-skinned people in your country, the lighter-skinned Jews no longer look out of place. They look more like white people. I mean, that's why they love diversity so much, because they no longer stand out. When you haven't got Negroes and Pakistanis in your country, you've just got Europeans and Jews, it's much easier to see that there are these strange people that aren't quite like you that are running everything. And that's what they don't like. You know, that's why they promote multiculturalism. And now the result of that is that the left now sees them as being white. And as you say, Matt, it sees Israel as this colonial venture over there, this racist colonial adventure over there in the Middle East that's harming these poor little Palestinians. We've got a great quote here from Jonathan Greenblatt. Among those welcoming the order on Tuesday was Jonathan Greenblatt, the chief executive of the Anti-Defamation League, who said the group recorded its third highest level of anti-Semitic episodes in the United States last year. He said, "Of course, we hope it will be enforced in a fair manner, but the fact of the matter is we see Jewish students on college campuses and Jewish people all over being marginalized. The rise of anti-Semitic incidents is not theoretical, it's empirical." So, of course, he hopes it's going to be enforced in a fair manner there. And he sees Jewish people being marginalized. The very fact this is being talked about and Donald Trump has just made an executive order shows that Jews are not being marginalized. Jews are being obeyed, not marginalized. What do you make of this comment from Greenblatt here, Greenblood?
I can't, you know, I read it a few times and I wanted to believe it was never uttered. But imagine somebody being so neurotic as to believe that to be criticized, especially in a very mild way, like most of these criticisms are, means that the most powerful people in the country are therefore marginalized. I mean, the use of the term marginalization is absolutely bizarre. And then, of course, the notion of these anti-Semitic episodes, we know what these are. They aren't people getting beaten up. These are rabbis painting swastikas on the side of the synagogue. They're the only ones who gain by that kind of thing. This is absolute, but claiming marginalization, the world's most powerful group claiming marginalization because of criticism of Israel. And there's plenty of Jews that don't like Israeli policies. This is the height of psychological damage, in my opinion.
Well, I do see another side to this as well. I mean, just linking this with these attacks on the Labour Party and saying that they're anti-Semitic, it seems to me that there's a power grab, basically. You've got Jews that are on the left that support the Labour Party, that run Momentum, and that are actually involved in this boycott, divestment, sanctions thing. And then you've got Jews on the right that support Zionism and support Israel. And up until now, they've both used this, anti-Semitism, shut up, shut that down, naughty goy. And now the Zionist Jews want to get it written down that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. So they're making a power grab, and it seems to me they're trying to sort of take this word anti-Semitism away from the left and have it really apply to the right. And it seems to me that's what it's all about with the Labour Party. And again, it's just this fight between the left and the right among the Jews, and it becomes central to, you know, to everything that we talk about. And you can go back to the Middle Ages with Pfefferkorn and Reuchlin. One was a Converso Jew, and the other one was a Talmudic Jew. And it was the central news was this fight between the pair of them. And it's the same now. We've got this fight between the right and the left over who's going to get the right to define what anti-Semitism is. And they want to make it apply to Israel, basically. That's what this is all about. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Well, you know, I've actually worked with Orthodox Jewish rabbis who despise the state of Israel. Rabbi David Weiss from Naturi Karta has been extremely active. He went to the Holocaust conference in Iran. What was that, 10 years ago? More than that, 15 years ago now. And he's gone back since then. They burned down his synagogue. The JDL burned down a synagogue because of that. So a lot of Jews are going to be involved in this, not to mention the Jews in Jerusalem, who do not recognize the state of Israel, and they're in the thousands, who don't use passports or anything like that, who are still rioting in the streets these days. You know, so this is just, I don't know what else to say other than that it is a power grab. Not just a power grab from Jews, though. The timing of this from Donald Trump is misguided because he thinks that this is somehow going to help him. That Jews are going to lay off. I mean, he's very, very popular in Israel. But among American Jews, he's very unpopular. So he's trying to cozy up the people who already despise him rather than to his own base, rather than helping his own people who elected him. And this worries me more than anything else.
Well, just another point though on these right-wing and left-wing Jews. I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen gave his speech to the ADL recently, and he had a list of anti-Semites that he was demanding that Facebook remove, and Gilad Atzmon was on there, who is a left-wing Jew, and there were a couple of other Jews that were actually on his list that he's accusing of being anti-Semites. And just as you were saying there, Matt, about them destroying this synagogue, is basically right-wing Jews trying to hijack the word anti-Semitism from the left-wing Jews. That's what it appears to be to me anyway. But there's a university that's tied up with all this as well, Duke University. This is from the New York Times. The Trump administration has threatened to withdraw federal funding for a Middle East studies course jointly taught by Duke University and the University of North Carolina because it believes the course is too positive in its depiction of Islam in comparison with its portrayal of Judaism and Christianity. The Department of Education said the consortium had failed to offer a balance of perspectives on the religions and ordered the universities to remake the course to provide a more positive portrayal of Judaism and Christianity or lose its federal funding. The consortium received $235,000 in federal grant money last year. And this you know, concerns me, this trying to link Judaism and Christianity together. And the civic nationalists will think this is wonderful that Islam is being, or the teaching of Islam in this university is being told they have to scale it back a bit and promote Judaism and Christianity. But I'm more alarmed at this. I don't like to see Judaism tied in with Christianity at all. What's the important thing about this, Matt?
Well, the issue, the letter from the Department of Education to Duke University in North Carolina and University of North Carolina, it does say, you know, Christians, Jews, Baha'is, Kurds, whatever, they mentioned Druze, that Islam is trumpeted above all of them. Now, the big problem, of course, is that they're going on to your federal government, going to a university campus saying you're being too mean to the Jews. On the other hand, this is a Title VI matter. This is a specific program giving a very specific type of grant from the federal government this grant goes to things that teach a language and a culture that's of great security concern to the U.S. That's what this is about. Now, it's a trial balloon. I mean, if it works here, they're going to do it elsewhere. But the reason that this isn't as ridiculous as it sounds, I mean, both sides are wrong here, is that the professors here are completely misusing this. They get this Title VI grant on national security grounds, and they're doing nothing but rhapsodizing about transsexuals in Islam, which is exactly what they're doing. It's right in the very letter that DeVos sent the university. So in a sense, they're not entirely wrong. But at the same time, with all the corruption, the wickedness on university campuses that we all know, that I've experienced firsthand, this is what the administration is going to go after? This is where they're going to make their mark over, you know, supporting the most powerful group in the world rather than his own people? So in this case, both sides are wrong. But this is unprecedented in the sense that it's very rare the federal government walks into a university and says, you got to teach this course differently. That's what they're opening the door for this. But the Title VI grant that they got, this isn't a normal university course. This is specifically grant money going to teaching a language and a culture of security concern to the U.S., and they're not doing that. So the federal government is technically correct in what they're doing, that the grant is not being used properly. The broader point, and this is what started this whole executive order thing, this is where it came from, because again, they receive federal funds. The point of this is it's a trial balloon. These are all trial balloons. If it works here, if it passed constitutional muster here, it'll move forward. And essentially what the Department of Education is saying is that they rhapsodize about Islam to the point where people aren't understanding what's really going on in the Middle East. And actually the stuff they're talking about is legitimately bad. This is not what the grant money was meant to use. Still though, the fact that the federal government is going on a university campus and telling them how to teach a course, that's brand new. And of course, it's a Trump administration. It's going to be supporting Zionism. Again, with all the evils on a university campus, this is what Trump stakes his reputation on.
So you're saying they need to scale back the Islam, which is a good thing, but then they need to push forward Judaism and rhapsodize about Judaism, and then they've tacked on this Christianity bit at the end, so people don't say, well, hang on a minute, shouldn't it all be taught equally, or just Christianity? Let's have a look at some of what the actual Department of Educational letter says. It says, it appears from your APRs, that's annual project reports, which are normal for people getting grants, that the Duke UNC CMES offers very little serious instruction preparing individuals to understand the geopolitical challenges to US national security and economic needs, but quite a considerable emphasis on advancing ideological priorities. For example, the description of an activity described as a conversation with Dr. Rosemary Corbett is, Dr. Corbett traces the broader history of pressures placed on religious minorities in the last century to conform to dominant American frameworks for race, gender, and political economy. These include the encouraging of community groups to provide social services to the dispossessed in compensation for the government's lack of welfare provisions in an aggressively capitalist environment. I mean, that's totally communist, isn't it? Another activity called Music on the Porch describes an outdoor concert series as an international program focused on Islam, music, and social change. The featured artist, Marco Pave, is described as a millennial Muslim from Memphis who conducts workshops around the country on hip-hop and social justice, and he advocates greater support for the arts. It is hard to understand how these things are consistent with a National Resource Center and lawfully supported by taxpayer funds to ensure the, quote, security, stability, and economic vitality of the United States in a complex global era. Close quote. They're not wrong there, are they, Matt?
No. The way that the university is portraying this, acting like the U.S., the federal government's coming in and saying that, oh, we're too mean to the Jews. That's how they're portraying this. The problem is a National Resource Center is a specific grant that's given to an institution, as I said, that has strategic interest. And it's clearly being misused. The stuff that you just read has nothing to do with learning the language or the culture in a way that helps American security concerns. All the other stuff that they mentioned in the letter, it's almost hilarious. They're absolutely not wrong. This is a very specific type of grant. On the other hand, the point of this is to see if they can get away with it. And if they can do this, I mean, it's a weak link. I mean, the university is wrong here. But if they can get away with this, they're not going to stop there. They're going to go on to anything that gets federal money. Of course, all universities do. And then from there, if that works, pretty much any institution whatsoever. And it's going to become a part of the culture and part of our day-to-day life. This is how they're going to ban any criticism of Israel. And this is the weak link they're going to use to start. So that's what this is really all about.
Right. So they could end up just withdrawing funds from universities and teaching institutions if they allow any criticism of Israel. And this is the mechanism that they could use to do it. Well, scary stuff, Matt. Well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.